It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker today is Mr. John Dalton, Dean of Men at BJU. The title of his message is Significance of Sacrifice in the Life of a Believer. The text is from Mark chapter 9, verses 34 through 37.
I made a comment to the extension office. I said, you know what, you really had an interesting lineup. The last three Mondays, we've had somebody from the Dean of Men's office speak. Mr. Chad Gleiser spoke 2 weeks ago on Monday. My assistant, Dave Wetterlin, spoke last Monday. I'm speaking this Monday. I said, the students are going to be begging for a four-day weekend before long. We keep having all these Dean of Men's representatives speaking on Monday. But you came back, and that's because you didn't know I was speaking. I'm glad you're here. Today's Memorial Day. How many of you forgot that? Okay, a few. Appreciate your honesty. More of you did. You didn't admit it. Memorial Day, a special day for many reasons in our country. How many of you right now have a family member that is serving in the military on a foreign field? Okay. Wow. Good number of you. Friends, I'm sure, would even increase that number. Memorial Day was always a very significant day at our house growing up in Chicago. My dad was in the Army. We never really saw active duty at all, but it was very patriotic. We were aroused in the morning to patriotic songs being played on the record player. That long ago, yeah. Then we would participate as a church in a parade that would be right through our neighborhood there in the southwest side of Chicago, attempting to demonstrate our church's loyalty and appreciation for those who are sacrificing on our behalf. The afternoon was, of course, we'd spend time with family and picnicking and things like that, and there was typically a trip to the cemetery to bring geraniums, flowers, put them at the tombs of loved ones. We didn't have many loved ones there in Chicago. Most of my family is up in Massachusetts area. Dad emailed me yesterday, said he'd be going out to the cemetery this afternoon, doing some of that, some remembering. Memorial Day is a time to remember. And we've got a lot to be thankful for. We could talk a lot about that. A lot of different elements that make Memorial Day a significant day. The paper this morning, if you saw the paper, front page of the paper said something to the effect that many treat Memorial Day as a very significant day, but many are concerned that it's losing its significance to others. Who either have not been through tremendous loss or sacrifice themselves, or because their own they're just not personally attached to it at all. I want to take this morning and just talk for a brief time about this idea of sacrifice as it relates to the Christian. We could go a lot of different directions with this, but I want us to see the inherent significance that sacrifice has in the life of a believer. And truly, is the Christian life really a sacrifice? Well, no, when we consider what we gain as a result. But I think for this generation, the emphasis on sacrifice is good for all of us to be reminded about, because we are fairly padded in our current experience. We have things fairly easy, most of us, not all of us. Some of us have not been through tremendous sacrifice or loss at all. And it's good for us to just go back and be reminded that true sacrifice is critical in the life of the believer, but it also brings lasting reward. A few months ago, I had the opportunity to speak to the ISC officers about this very theme. And these are thoughts that were prepared in preparation for that. I had no idea today was Memorial Day when I was given this chapel date, but in preparation over the weekend, I realized this is a significant day. And it's a significant time to emphasize this kind of a theme. So sacrifice. Instead of turning to a specific passage, we may go to a couple and try to emphasize some of the biblical principles that are critical as we consider this idea. Of course, sacrifice in the Scripture, the book of Leviticus, God reveals His holiness by preserving for us His instructions for the sacrificial offerings of the tabernacle. Sacrifice was consumed on the altar to make atonement for sin and to symbolize the future offering of a perfect sacrifice. Of course, Isaiah 53 tells us, as other passages do, that Christ was that perfect sacrifice. It's said about God that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, that's of his Son, the Lord Jesus, and shall be satisfied. Christ provided that perfect sacrifice, that perfect satisfaction for the debt that we could not pay. And then the New Testament, of course, Paul admonishes us in the most familiar passage, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice because it is our reasonable duty. Offering those the sacrifice of our body, soul, and spirit, just as the Old Testament sacrifices were offered. The word sacrifice in the dictionary simply means the act of giving up, destroying, permitting injury to, forgoing something valued, for the sake of something having a more pressing claim. A baseball player lays down a sacrifice bunt. He gives up his at bat for a greater cause, to move that runner from first to second, or second to third. A student like you gives up sleep for a greater cause. Maybe you were an officer in your society and your responsibility was to prepare your dating outing. Well, you gave up sleep the night before or several nights before in preparation. Housewife gives up personal time for a greater cause, the well-being of her family. A businessman gives up his promotion for a greater cause. He won't work on Sundays because he wants to have his family in church. A soldier gives up his life for a greater cause, the safety of his homeland. A missionary gives up personal conveniences of the American dream for a greater cause so that he can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to make four observations about this theme of sacrifice today. Each one, I think, is based on a biblical principle. Whether we go to a specific passage for each one or not, don't know that we will have time to do that for each one. But along with each principle, I want to share a real-life illustration with you. I have the privilege of having several friends who've gone through the university and some of them even the seminary here and are now serving the Lord in full-time either military chaplain capacities or as missionaries on the foreign field. And several months ago, I emailed each of them and I said, what does this term mean to you? What does sacrifice mean? I mean, I talk about sacrifice. Sacrifice for me is, you know, getting up an hour earlier in the morning before my children and everybody else gets up in my house and getting some things done. I sacrifice some sleep. I confess that's a fairly limited view. I would like to hear it from people who really, really know what it's like to give up some of the things that I enjoy every day. And so I'm going to share with you, along with each one of these principles, a testimony from them, from their own mouths, their own words. And hopefully that will help set it in a real-life context for you and I. Although we are not perhaps missionaries, the majority of us are not full-time missionaries, we are probably not military chaplains, we can gain some insight into the real-life application of these principles of sacrifice. The first principle is this: true sacrifice begins with a basic understanding. We must deny ourselves instead of loving ourselves. Mark chapter 8, turn over there. We'll take our first two from here. These won't be profound. They won't be things you've never heard before. Most times in life, as we understand the Christian life, it's not a matter of finding out something we didn't know. It's a matter of doing what we already did know. And so this will really, perhaps more than anything, reemphasize some things we've heard. But true sacrifice begins with a very basic understanding. We must deny ourselves instead of loving ourselves. This is the account in Mark, Christ's call for disciples. When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. What is your life all about, young people? What are you seeking to garner to yourself? What are you seeking to save? What are you seeking to keep? Is it your appearance? Does that take up a majority or a significant chunk of your schedule each day, being sure you look a certain way? Please don't misunderstand me. We shouldn't be unconcerned about our appearance, our testimony. Are you concerned about the latest gadget, electronic gadget? You like gadgets? You spend a lot of time looking through and pondering and studying and things. Those consume your time. How good are we at saying no to ourselves? I think if we're all honest, we're probably not very good at that, are we? But this is absolutely fundamental to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and to know the blessing that comes, the true reward that comes as we practice a life of self-sacrifice. Here's a word from a friend of mine who's a military chaplain in Baghdad, U.S. Army. Some of you may know Florio Pierre. Sacrifice, Florio says, must have a cause that's worth denying self-pleasure and comfort for. During the war, I lived that theme firsthand with the soldiers of the 3rd Infantry Division. Each hour that the rest of the world was enjoying, resting, relaxing, or on vacation somewhere, we were in a desert fighting the enemy. Driving through Baghdad made me personally see what we were there for. The greater cause was the voices of these youngsters who greeted us with great cheers on the highway to the main water purification site, which we were to guard so that Saddam would not contaminate the main water supply for a city of millions of people, including innocent children. He continues, he says, we must see the greater cause in sacrificing the pleasures of this world for a season. What we do and how we live our lives have more consequences than we can imagine. Paul exemplified this very theme throughout his life. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. And the testimony which I have received to testify the gospel of the grace of God. A little bit of an understanding there of denying self instead of loving self. Florio knows a little bit about that. Do you know anything about that? You know, it'd be a great thing, great exercise, something I try to do from time to time, something I encourage young men to do from time to time. Just go through a day, bring a notebook with you, Palm Pilot, whatever you use to take notes on, and count how many times you make a choice to please yourself. You make a choice to indulge yourself when really you know there's something greater that needs to be done. There is, and I'm not saying it has to be putting a tract in somebody's hand or, some kind of Christian act of kindness. Maybe it just is a matter of studying for the summer school class that you're in the middle of. How many times do you practice indulging yourself? If you are good, and most of us are, at saying yes to ourselves, we probably will know very little of the blessing that a guy like Florio will know someday just by virtue of the fact that we know little of sacrifice. True sacrifice brings lasting reward. Second, I have to move right along here. True sacrifice involves a distinct view of reality. We have to focus on eternal treasures instead of temporal pleasures. And this, of course, young people, I find myself saying this almost every time I preach to young people, and I preach it to myself as well. This is just kind of a recurring thing, theme. Will we live for what we can see? Or will we live for what we cannot see? The rest of that passage in Mark chapter 8, for what shall it profit a man if he does gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So what if you get everything? You know, it may be that for some here, the last 3 or 4 weeks has been all about the revenge of the Sith. How am I going to get to watch it? Or did I watch it? Did you see it? How'd you see it? Man, I can't wait to see it. I can't. You know, maybe you're a Star Wars junkie, and this message is not against Star Wars, okay? But, you know, has that been something that's just absolutely consumed every waking moment that you just can't get away from? Now, compare that, something like that, and whether it's that movie or whether it's some other source of entertainment, and place that alongside of eternity. Do you see the comparison? There really isn't one. It'll be consumed. It won't last. Here's a word from a missionary friend, Steve Hafler. Some of you may know Steve. Steve was in Kenya, Africa for several years. The country pretty much kicked him out. He's now in Zambia. He said, many mornings I wake up, the glory of the mission field and all the false impressions that go with it, long gone. And realize the work of missions, the battle against false doctrine, and the everyday awareness of being a white foreigner, quite conspicuous where I serve, is real. Not only is it real, but often discouraging, as it only seems to multiply difficulties at times. What would get me past the first year, let alone cause me to return for the second term? What would cause me to leave my family again in the comforts of a great country? What would cause me to live in a corrupt, dirty third world country with my wife and six children? It must be more than the opportunity to look like a hero before my compatriots. That may get me through a week or a year. What is the anchor that would hold me in this seemingly God-forsaken country where men are quick to profess Christianity but quicker to steal and lie? It's the beautiful fact that what we believe is real. What a thought. This sacrifice, if you want to call it that, and there are many days it seems like that, it's worth it. Eyes of faith must look beyond today and see a land, a country that God has prepared. Eyes of faith that see a day that has not yet come, and it will be worth it all. Soon this will not seem like a sacrifice. But, catch his closing words here. If you are only living for today and for this world, then you will never understand the deep joy that comes with this kind of life. You say, well, you have to be a certain kind of person to have that kind of testimony. I mean, Steve Hafer, he's kind of a hero. I wish Steve could be here today to share his testimony with you. Steve Hafer was saved out of a life of drugs, hard rock music, terrible circumstances, and God reached down and miraculously saved him and transformed him. There's nothing supernatural about this man. There is something supernatural about the God that he serves and the fact that he has allowed himself to be gripped with the truth that what he can't see is much more important than what he can see. Now, folks, young people, I really think here, you say, well, how do I do that? I mean, how do I get to start seeing the invisible and not seeing the visible? Frankly, there just needs to be some repentance in all of our hearts. We love the world, and God says, don't love it. We love all the things that are in the world. And God says, if you're going to do that, the love of the Father is not in you. And I would encourage us, if we really do hear Christ's call today, and we really do want to know something of what it means to be his disciple and enjoy the blessings of self-sacrifice, that we examine our hearts, we do some introspection, we do some evaluation to see what is it that I need to repent of? What am I worshiping today? What is my idol? Is it a person? Is it an activity? Is it a free summer? What is it? And that will help us get to where we can start seeing more clearly that the most important thing and the most important things are not the things that I can immediately perceive, but they're the things that are imperceptible. Third, true sacrifice serves a greater cause. We must seek the glory of God instead of the praise of men. True sacrifice isn't the Pharisees spouting off their prayers in the marketplaces, looking for the praise of men. And Christ says, right, you have your reward. We don't sacrifice today. We don't become monkish. We don't display our severe asceticism or our severe lifestyle with any kind of lasting benefit, with that doing anything between us and God. Our motivation has to be the glory of God. Eric Mossman is a missionary in Cameroon. He was on campus last week. The matter of sacrifice was truly settled the day I received Christ as my Savior. The day I received Christ as my Savior, I embraced Christ as my greatest love, to whom nothing else could even compare, my desires, my family, my ministry, even my life. I denied myself and took up my cross on that day. I received him as my Lord, the one to whom I give absolute allegiance. I received him as my God. During the first year of ministry on the field, I found myself in a small, remote village in a mud brick home with a handful of people, and I was there to give them the gospel. Even many of those who lived in the larger town nearby did not know the whereabouts of this particular village. The place I was in was far away from my home, my friends, my family, and my comforts. But what is all of that in comparison to the value of even one of those souls? What are those things in comparison with what the Lord has done for me in salvation? When thinking of those first days, thoughts of sacrifice do not come to my mind, but the incredible work of God in bringing the gospel to every creature, and that for His glory. Again, just a very common man, a very average man like you and me. Nothing special about Eric. But he's caught a glimpse of something that it would do us well to catch a glimpse of. And that is that there is a greater cause that we serve. There's a motivation for which we do, for why we do what we do. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. Is that how you orchestrate your day? Is that your motivation? Boy, that's a good question for me to ask myself. Easy to lose that in the context of busyness and college life in general, academy life. What's your life about? Who is it about? Is it about yourself or is it about the glory of God? If we would grasp this proper motivation, no doubt we could be participants in that lasting reward that true sacrifice really brings. Last, true sacrifice demands a supernatural empowerment, the grace of God instead of self-effort. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Well, see, Paul was one of those supercharged Christians too, wasn't he? No, well, we know he wasn't. That's his testimony. It's by God's grace I am what I am. It's not me that labored to become this particular kind of person. It was the grace of God within me. Chris Wallace, chaplain with the U.S. Army, was posted in Iraq for a year's time. His wife and two little children, one two-year-old and one brand new born, he had to leave. I think he knows a little bit about this topic. He said to me, it's quite easy for Kelly and I to think or talk of sacrifice and what we give up or what we miss out on. It'd be cold and heartless not to acknowledge 11 months apart from Kelly, a three-year-old and an infant. It's difficult for us and harsh on a family, but it's hard to say that without in the same breath saying God gives abundant grace and sovereignly sanctifies us and uses us for His glory. There are things we miss, good things that will never be replaced, as a newborn went to 6 months and a two-year-old went to 3 years, not to mention a whole year of marriage. But daily, God satisfied me as I lived in a tent in the middle of Southwest Asia for over 8 months away from my family. He gave joy, grace, and peace in amazing abundance. The peace that passes all understanding guarded us. And you know, you have some family and friends that are missionaries, chaplains, military personnel in general, that could probably say some of the same things that these men have said today. But they have caught a glimpse of what it means to truly sacrifice. Now you say it's kind of a morbid thought to come up in front of a bunch of people and say, you ought to sacrifice! Well, we return to the point that true sacrifice, sacrifice that is based on a love for others, that denies temporal pleasures, that is not working to please men, that is not the product of self-effort, is something that will bring lasting reward. I love the words of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 18. He said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. See the wonderful blessing, the wonderful joy for the believer who sacrifices for the glory of God, not for the praise of men, with a heart of love, dependent on the grace of God, is that that kind of sacrifice will bring wonderful pleasure and happiness. You say, well, define. What does that mean? God says he's going to give me more now, and he's also going to give me more later. How much am I going to get more now? Okay, well, we really don't understand sacrifice if we're focused on the last part of that verse. The emphasis is, it's a wonderful promise. My God shall supply all your needs according to his abundant riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And young people, we need you. You really are the future. Not of Bob Jones University, but you are the future of the kingdom of Christ that is seeking to be advanced in this earth. You are really what the success of that kingdom being advanced is going to be based on. Whether or not you go forward, whether or not you forsake all and follow Christ, that will in many ways determine whether or not hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people ever hear the gospel, whether or not people are challenged with the truth of God's word, whether the host of darkness that invades the earth which we live is at all stemmed. Much of it will be on the decisions and the choices that you make. And I trust today's Memorial Day will be a time for us to remember people. Helpful to remember. It's good to remember. But more than that, it will be a time that we determine to practice this critical element of our faith, which is a willingness to sacrifice for a greater cause. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you today for this truth. We thank you for many who have lived this truth out. Lord, some who have sacrificed and are sacrificing their lives right now are doing it without any kind of spiritual motivation at all. It is simply a matter of performing a duty or having an adrenaline rush or being on an ego trip. A lot of different reasons people sacrifice. But God, as we consider the great love wherewith you've loved us, how can we not present to you our souls, our lives, our lives, our all? I pray today that we would take a moment to glimpse the truth of your word in this call to discipleship. And may we be willing to sacrifice all for thee.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Mr. John Dalton, Dean of Men at BJU. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.